Let's take a few brief moments here to prepare for the Lord's table and to rejoice in the communion that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, the provision that has been made. For the Scripture tells us that through Jesus Christ, that we are to abide in Him, and that there has been a relationship that is given. In fact, the Scripture describes you as the people of God, and that as the people of God, that it is Christ in you that is the hope of glory. And what that simply means is that the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Christ, as He was resurrected from the grave and ascended to be seated at the right hand of the Father on high, that He sent His Holy Spirit to dwell within His people. And so we enjoy the blessing of that communion or that relationship with our Heavenly Father, because Jesus Christ removed the sin and the guilt of that sin that we had before Him. And so now, as God's people, we can celebrate and enjoy fellowship with Him in a very special and deep way. And that's what all of this is about. And the communion service is a remembrance of what Christ has done on our behalf. Now, I want to speak to you just for a few moments about Jesus Christ, our mediator. And in the Scripture, there's a number of terms that are used that involve the work of Jesus Christ and His provision as what the Scripture describes as the mediator of the covenant. And really what we're celebrating this morning as we gather around this table and partake of these elements is the institution of this covenant that God made with man when Jesus Christ came to planet Earth and took upon Himself human flesh and became fully a man. And so the Scripture says that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus. So we want to think about and meditate for a few moments today as we go to the Lord's table and remember this covenant that was made through this mediator, the man Christ Jesus. And Christ intervenes. A mediator, what a mediator does is he intervenes between two parties. And in this particular case, the mediation is between God and men. And the Scripture defines and says that that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what that simply means is that mankind, that humanity, though they were created by God in heaven, has sought to be separate from that God who created them and that God who dwells in heaven and transcends all of His creation. And so as His people, there has been a separation. And that separation is called death. And that death was brought about by sin. The Scripture says that the wages of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when we talk about the sacrifice, the communion that we have with Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ with our Heavenly Father, it of necessity brings us back to this covenant that He made. And in that covenant was provision. Always in a covenant, it's sealed with blood. There's a blood sacrifice. And this treaty, this covenant between God and man who was separated from God, was accomplished by the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Where the Scripture says the wages of our sin is death, and that means separation from God. Death means not only physical death, which we all face, but death also means separation from a holy God. So when we speak of spiritual death, which the Scripture talks of, it's addressing that broken relationship that man has with God. And our mediator, through His work on the cross of Calvary has accomplished at an intercession on our behalf. Though we're guilty, according to the Word of God, according to what the Bible tells us, we stand guilty before Almighty God. And our sin has separated us from His glory, from His sinlessness, from His perfection. And as we look at our world and see all the problems that are there, and we look at the human heart and explore and discover things about ourselves, we realize that man has a lot of problems. And what Jesus Christ came to do through this covenant is to mediate a way for us to go back to the God who created us in His holiness and His righteousness. And so in order to do that, He had to do something with the human heart. Okay? And that something that He did was on the cross of Calvary, He propitiated for our sins. He paid the penalty for your sin and my sin. So Jesus is the mediator. He intervenes between us and a holy God, and He has provided a way for us to go back into the presence and into the fellowship of that holy God in such a way that the Scripture says, He came and He dwelt among His own, but His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. And that's an exciting thing. We enter into God's family through the blood of this covenant, through the work that Christ did on the cross, through His shed blood, complete expulsion, expiation for our sin has been accomplished. It has been paid for in full. What Christ has done for you is to remove the barrier that you can enjoy the presence of God. And so the Scripture says that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. His Spirit has come to dwell with His people. And we fellowship with one another on that basis. And John said that the gospel is given that we might have fellowship with you, and that fellowship is with the Father and with His Son in heaven. So when we congregate as God's people and we sing His praises and sing about the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross for us, we're remembering this work and what is essential for us as God's people. Now, a mediator is one who intercedes or intervenes between two parties, either in order to restore peace or to make a friendship. So it involves reconciliation. It involves intercession. It involves mediation between two parties. It can be mediation, or being a mediator could involve forming a compact. In fact, does, as it's mentioned in the book of Hebrews, or for ratifying a covenant, which is it does, which is what we're speaking about here this morning. When we embrace the sign of the covenant, which is communion, the Scripture says this is the sign of the new covenant that Christ made with us. As mediator, He instituted this, and He instituted communion so that we as God's people would remember this treaty or this covenant that God made with man by coming in the flesh, becoming man, suffering the temptations and the trials of human flesh. He thirsted like you thirst. He hungered like you hunger. And He suffered all things as a human being, and yet without sin. He fulfilled perfectly God's law. And so He's a medium, an arbitrator for you and for me. He is one who has brought reconciliation between us and a holy God in heaven, and He intercedes. In Hebrews 8:6, the Scripture says, "But now has He obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." So when we look and think about the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, God made a covenant with the people of Israel, and that was a land covenant. And they were within that covenant. Law was given, the law of Moses, the law at Mount Sinai. And these were certain things, standards that they were to live up to and in order to have a righteous kingdom on earth. And it was involved the presence of God, and this wonderful covenant was quite a remarkable and amazing thing that God instituted through Moses. And in that covenant, there was a priest named Aaron, and he was the initial high priest, and there was a line of these high priests that would come, and they, through temple sacrifice, would mediate for the people. They would intercede for the sinfulness of the people. And so Aaron was a mediator for the old covenant. But when Jesus Christ came, he became a high priest after a different order. And we'll study about that as we pursue our further studies in the book of Hebrews. But he becomes a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And unlike the high priest in Moses' day and with Aaron and those that followed after him, this high priest had a once-for-all sacrifice for your sins and for my sins. And the sacrifice that he made upon the cross of Calvary was in order that he might institute a better covenant than what they had in the Old Testament. And that better covenant brings us into an eternal relationship with Almighty God. In fact, he has administered this reconciliation and accomplished it. So he intervenes between two parties, a mediator does. Secondly, he administers a treaty or a covenant for reconciliation between those God and men. And then in Hebrews 9:15 it says, "And for this cause he is the mediator of the new covenant," or the New Testament. Now, that's what New Testament means, by the way. Old Testament means Old Covenant. New Testament means New Covenant. And Jesus instituted a new covenant in his blood. And through the cross of Calvary, he became mediator of this better covenant. And he administered that through his work. And then in Hebrews 9, verse 15, it says, "And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant," or under the law, "that were required by the law, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." So what Christ has accomplished through us, through the cross of Calvary for us, was that he provided a way that was broken when Adam rebelled against God. When Adam decided on his own to become as God, to know good and evil, in rebellion, he became separated from God, and death came upon all men, the scripture says. But Jesus Christ, when he made sacrifice on the cross for our sin, then he took care of the problem, the issue of death, and we have received the promise of eternal inheritance, eternal life through Christ. And so a third point that we'd make: first, the mediator intervenes between two parties, God and men. Secondly, he administers a treaty for reconciliation, or a covenant, we would like to say, for reconciliation. And then thirdly, he guarantees those conditions with his blood. Christ died on your behalf. The scripture says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And therefore, being justified by Christ, we have peace with God. He accomplished peace between you and God. It's a wonderful gospel, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because your sin has separated you from God. And you were born into it. You were born a sinner. You were born after the likeness of Adam and those that went before you, your fathers, which sinned before you. And in man's rebellion against God, we have been separated from him. But through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, there has been provided a way that's whereby we might come back into the presence of a holy God. And so have you thought about it? Living is based on sacrifice, right? Parents sacrifice for their children. Parents provide for their children. We have doctors who sacrifice their time and their lives to heal. We have soldiers who sacrifice that we might know freedom. If my father and the men that were with him hadn't fought in World War II, no question, we would have been under the dictatorship of the offspring of Hitler. It would have been a different world. But because of willing sacrifice on soldiers' parts, we know freedom. And so we know what it means to sacrifice. Life is full of sacrifice. But the Scripture teaches us that there's one essential and necessary sacrifice, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And that His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary paid in full what was necessary for us to know this eternal inheritance, eternal life with the God who created us. So that, those conditions, that covenant was guaranteed by His blood. Romans 8:34 says, "Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather who was raised, who at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us." The amazing blessing that we have this morning is that though you and I walked in this place sinful as we are, as sinful people, our attitudes are often terrible and wrong. We're self-centered and self-focused. And if you're the normal person through the week, by the time you get here on Sunday morning, you've had multitudes of distractions and things that are reminders that you're not so much like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we come into fellowship with the Holy God, there's this automatic feeling of separation. And our prayer life probably, if you're like me, hasn't been what it should be. We haven't had that rich communion that we should have with God and fellowship that we should have with Him, and things that we should know by way of personal relationship with Almighty God, because there's a problem, an issue in our heart. But the wonderful thing is that when Jesus Christ displayed His victory and power over death, when He was resurrected from the grave, and then by the witness of those that that saw Him and handled God in flesh, the incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, He ascended, the Scripture tells us, to be seated at the right hand of the Father on high. Ever seated at the right hand of His Majesty on high. And Jesus Christ sent His Spirit, that is the confirmation of His work, to indwell His people. And that Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and draws us toward God and causes us to hunger for the things of God. And God has done all of that work through an intercessor, through a mediator of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, there to intercede for you. So, brothers and sisters, the wonderful thing is that you don't have to walk out of this place continuing in your sin, but your mediator has provided provision for the penalty of that sin, which is death and separation from God, but also cleansing from the guilt of that sin. So in good standing, we can come to the Lord's table this morning. That's what we want to do. We want to come as God's people by faith, trusting in the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ, His provision, that though we are sinful and though we're guilty before God by everything that our rational minds and logical minds would tell us, we've come short of His glory. And yet, despite all of those things, because of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, because He mediates this covenant on our behalf, we can come guiltless before God, before this table, and have fellowship with Him, communion with Almighty God. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? So the fourth point that I want to make here is that an intercessor represents those who are guilty. It's okay for you to be guilty and to acknowledge your guilt this morning before God. To recognize that your righteousness is insufficient to be in the presence of a holy God is necessary for you. But I was reading, and those of you that are reading through the Bible with us this week, wasn't it great when we came to Nehemiah? In Nehemiah chapter 8, it says, "And they read from the book of the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading." So when we understand God's Word, when we understand His perfection and His holiness, there's a reaction that takes place. It says in verse 9, "Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, 'This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep.'" Notice what it says. This is a commentary. "For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law." Do you know why? Because the law condemns us. It brings us to the righteousness of God, to the holiness of God, and we realize we've fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of our sin is death and separation from God. But through the mediation of God's covenant, through the provision that He has made, He has declared. And so what they're saying is, "This day is holy. Cease your weeping and take joy." Then it goes on to say in verse 10, "Then he said to them, 'Go, eat the fat, drink the sweet.'" Now we're going to go over here and eat in a moment. And we're in a fellowship together around the table as God's people with joy, though we're sinful, though we recognize our sin before God. But that was the admonition, that was the challenge that was given by Nehemiah and Ezra and the Levites and the priests as they were teaching the people God's Word. And he said to them, "Go eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Isn't that great? Right now, we celebrate a fellowship with God that God's people get to have. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Though we acknowledge that we're sinful and separated from a holy God, in and of ourselves, there's no righteousness in ourselves. But God has provided righteousness through our Lord Jesus Christ. So right now, what I'd like to do is for each one of you to bow your heads. You can close your eyes. And it's a wonderful time. We don't want to come to the Lord's table with sin in our lives. And because we have an intercessor, because we have a mediator that is there seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, he intercedes for the guilty. The scripture says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Did you know that that means for the believer? Not talking about for unbelievers there. It's talking about for guilty believers. God has provided a way whereby he is faithful. That means that he will do it, and he's just because Jesus Christ died and paid the penalty for those sins to forgive the sins that you have committed and cleanse you from unrighteousness and grant you fellowship with Almighty God. So let's take a moment to deal with business between God and ourselves and ask for that provision. And it might be that there may be some here this morning that have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of salvation, Jesus himself said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." The wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He has paid the penalty for your sin, and a simple matter of trusting him for the forgiveness of your sin is all that is needed for you to be ushered into the family of God and to come to new life and a new relationship with him. And we would encourage anyone who has never trusted in Christ to take these moments and trust in him for the forgiveness of your sin. For God made he who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's take a moment of reflection. Thank you, Lord God, for your provision. You have said, as you have received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. So by faith we trust in the righteousness that you have supplied and given to our account. You have imputed it to us, the righteousness of your Son, Jesus. And that righteousness we take by faith to stand before you as guiltless and holy people. In Jesus' name we pray. Men, would you come forward?